Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, welcome to the show. You can join us here if you want. Phones, the number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
Lots of big stuff in the news this week to talk about, including the BRICS Summit, which I think wrapped up today. It was within the last few days that have been going on. BRICS, of course, is sort of the other world power alliance that has been building for the last roughly two decades, and it hasn't apparently had new members for the last 13 years, I think it was.
So it's only been Brazil, Russia, India,
China
and
South Africa. For several, at least for more than a decade, it's been that. And they just had their annual summit that they do. It rotates around, so this year it was in South Africa. And the big news out of BRICS is that they are going to be adding six more countries to BRICS.
Which ones?
That is, of course, the big question, and they did announce which ones are going to be added. There were, I think, close to two dozen countries that were applying for membership. I'm actually surprised Mexico didn't make it in, because that would have been a real, you know, FU to the United States.
Well, that'd be even scarier if Vivek Ramaswamy and the likes were still trying to bomb Mexico when they get elected.
Well, according to people who watched the Republican debate, those poor bastards that love to punish themselves last night, apparently Vivek Ramaswamy was still talking about using the U.S. military against the Mexican cartels.
Wow, I thought that he had supposedly walked it back on some show.
I don't know about that. I'd heard something in regards to that.
Well, I guess he's walked it back after walking it back.
I suspect it depends on to whom he's speaking.
Probably.
You know, like if he's
a politician.
If he's at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is a group full of libertarian free staters, where he appeared in June, I suspect he'll talk very differently about it and try to play it down as much as possible. Like, we just want to get the Mexican military to take action against them. We're not going to actually do anything about it. And then if he's, you know, in front of a group of Republicans, he's all tough talk about dropping bombs on the Mexican cartels. So, but your point being, Bonnie, that if Mexico were to be admitted to BRICS, which has historically, as I understand it, been more of an economic alliance than it is like a militaristic alliance.
Yeah, but still, your economy is going to fall if you're getting bombed by the United States.
Sure, but the question is, if you're a member of BRICS, is that going to obligate the BRICS countries to send military aid if you're invaded by the U.S. military?
I don't know if it would obligate them like NATO allies or something like that, but like I said, they're not going to like if they're economically entangled with the country, and then the United States starts bombing it.
So the big number or the big names here include Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, as well as, surprise, Argentina, which we've been talking about in recent days with the candidacy of libertarian Javier Milei, who won the Argentinian primary election not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, I believe.
How many new total?
Six. So
Egypt, Argentina.
Egypt, Argentina, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Hmm.
Which, according to somebody's calculation, it's not in any of the stories that I've seen so far, but just on social media, somebody claims that that will give BRICS 80% of the world's oil-producing nations.
So there are a lot of rich countries. Saudi Arabia is super rich.
So Saudi Arabia is. I don't know about Ethiopia and Egypt.
But I just figured Egypt was rich.
UAE and Saudi Arabia are definitely two major oil producers out there. And them joining BRICS is a huge shot across the bow to the United States, because if you recall, there was several months ago, Joe Biden was trying to have a meeting with the prince or whatever of Saudi Arabia, and he was getting rejected. Like, he couldn't even get a meeting scheduled with this guy.
Nice.
So, yeah, things are starting to change out there, and this is yet another indicator of BRICS becoming more and more relevant. I don't know if they have the numbers in this story from RT. It doesn't look like they do. But according to something I saw earlier on, like, what does this mean as far as how big will BRICS be economically? It said it would be over, I think, $30 trillion in GDP, and it would be over 30% of world GDP. Prior to the expansion, people were saying that BRICS had 42% of the world's population underneath its alliance, so this would...
India and China.
Right, India and China are huge. Each of them has, I think, approximately a billion or
right.
just over a billion people. So now you add into that six more countries. It has not been determined. The most important question, of course, is will they change the name of BRICS? I did see somewhere that they kind of like the name BRICS, so they may just be sticking with that. And like, you know, BRICS Plus, I think,
yeah,
has been
like
referred
to. Yeah,
they're
like the OGs or whatever. Yeah. They could keep it like that.
So the story here from Reuters that BRICS is making a pretty big change. Oh, you're saying we're not switching. All right. Well, there you go. The BRICS bloc of developing nations agreed on Thursday to admit the countries I mentioned in a move aimed at accelerating its push to reshuffle the world order that it sees as outdated. In deciding in favor of an expansion, the bloc's first in 13 years, BRICS leaders left the door open to future enlargement as dozens more countries voiced interest in joining a grouping that they hope can level the global playing field. And also, according to Reuters, the expansion adds economic heft to BRICS, whose current members are China, which is the world's second largest economy, as well as Brazil, Russia, India, and South Africa. It could also amplify its declared ambition to become a champion of the global South. But longstanding tensions could linger between members who want to forge the grouping into a counterweight to the West, notably China, Russia, and now Iran, and those that continue to nurture close ties to the United States and Europe.
Another thing is, if global warming is real, don't you think Russia is going to become, like, prime real estate?
It might. They certainly have a lot of it.
A bunch of land that's not currently, like, housed.
Yeah, it's undesirable for the most
because
part.
It's undesirable, and then... if it gets a lot warmer.
But that said, there's, you know, roughly 140 plus million people that live there, so mm-hmm. it's no slouch.
But it's like almost all towards the bottom.
Probably. Chinese President Xi Jinping said the membership expansion is historic. He said it shows the determination of BRICS countries for unity and cooperation with the broader developing countries. And according to the story, BRICS, according to South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, BRICS has embarked on a new chapter in its effort to build a world that is fair, a world that is just, a world that is also inclusive and prosperous. Now, of course, there's no reason to believe any of that. It's important to remember we are talking about governments here. And when we're talking about governments, we're talking about thugs.
One of which has a kingdom, like...
Is that Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're exactly talking about liars. We're talking about despots. We're talking about lunatics,
thugs,
killers, and gang members.
Parasites.
Parasites. That's who we're talking about here, okay? So are the United States government. All governments all around the world are just terrifying psychopaths.
It's an oxymoron to say a just government because
right.
it's just not just if one human being claims to have authority over another.
However, what this is it is an alternative to the status quo of the G7, which is, of course, the United States, Canada, Japan, Europe, and some others that I'm not recalling at the moment. But, you know, like the big Western countries, with the exception of Japan, G7 is sort of the world power, and everybody kind of knows it's basically United States and their buddies. Like the people that are going to do the United States bidding. Did I mention the UK? They're in there. So, you know, the people that will hop, skip, and jump whenever the U.S. government thugs tell them to. And BRICS is purportedly more decentralized in that it is not ostensibly controlled by China, even though they are obviously the economic power involved in BRICS. So is it a good thing? It's, I mean, nothing involving governments is a good thing. This is not going to be likely good for the little people who are being oppressed in all of these countries. But as far as the world scale is concerned,
it could be good for them for a little bit, at least.
Why?
Because their countries could become more prosperous.
Oh, that is certainly a possibility. I mean, that was happening anyway, just because the world is becoming wealthier over time. And
anything that's going to keep the bully of the world, the United States government, from, you know, at least make them think twice before attacking other people, like, oh, these other countries are, you know, allying together.
Yep, that's true.
Do you want to bomb Russia when China is, like,
their biggest trading partner?
Big ally? No, China and Russia being allies.
No, I understand what you're saying, but if you bomb Russia and China's your big trading partner, they can punish you economically for that. So, yeah, it does bring in some different aspects to sort of the world forum and how the different thugs of these nations will be interacting in the future. And what does that mean for the little people? Well, the other story that we have tonight about BRICS kind of gets into that in regards to the long-rumored BRICS currency, which a lot of people were, you know, there was different opinions about this. One was that it wasn't ever going to happen. There was no real plan for this. Others were saying, yes, they're going to have a gold-backed currency, and that's going to absolutely destroy the dollar. Now, the reality of the situation, we still don't really know yet, but there was some talk about it on Wednesday by Brazil's president at the BRICS summit, calling for the BRICS nations to create a common currency for trade and investment between each other as a means of reducing their vulnerability to dollar exchange rate fluctuations. So does this mean that they're going to create a gold-backed currency that's going to destroy all other world currencies? And I think at this point, it is probably too soon to be able to say. Other South African officials had said the BRICS currency was not on the agenda for the summit. However, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva from Brazil did say that he doesn't believe that nations that don't use the dollar should be forced to trade in the currency, and he has also advocated for a common currency in the Mercosur bloc of South American countries. A BRICS currency, he said, quote, increases our payment options and reduces our vulnerabilities. So this seems like, you know, pretty obvious thing for them to do to reduce reliance on the dollar, which will absolutely help the people in those other countries. Not especially if they go gold-backed. If they actually do come out with a gold-backed currency, that will be a game changer. It will be the first such thing in 100 years or something like that. I guess they did try it in, was it Gaddafi that tried to do some sort of gold thing, and then the U.S. government killed him over it? You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. I don't follow the Middle Eastern stuff closely, but as I recall, there was somebody in the Middle East, some warlord or dictator or whatever, that wanted to do some kind of gold-backed currency or actual gold currency, and that was one of the alleged reasons the U.S. government took him out. The number here is 603-283-6160 if you want to join the show. That's 603-283-6160. But again, they said that this wasn't officially on the summit's agenda. In July, India's foreign minister said, according to Reuters, quote, there is no idea of a BRICS currency, unquote. Its foreign secretary said before departing for the summit that boosting trade in national currencies would be discussed. Vladimir Putin said, which, by the way, he attended via video link because there's now apparently an international warrant for his arrest, so he didn't want to leave Russia. Said that the gathering would discuss switching trade between member countries away from the dollar to national currencies. China has not yet commented on the idea. So it sounds like at this point it has just been something that has been tossed out there by the Brazilian president. And
I thought it was the South American.
Nope. South Africa, you mean?
South
Africa's official position was that there was not going to be discussion about it on the agenda. But the guy, Brazil guy brought it up anyway. Building a BRICS currency would be a political project, according to South African Central Bank Governor Lesetša Tangyo told a radio station in July, quote, if you want it, you'll have to get a banking union, you'll have to get a fiscal union, you've got to get macroeconomic convergence. Importantly, you need a disciplining mechanism for the countries that fall out of line with it, plus they will need a common central bank. Where does it get located? And there's no doubt these are important questions that they'll need to answer. Of course, those of us who are libertarians would say, well, we don't need a government currency at all. Let the market handle these things. And, of course, we're not talking about a libertarian conference here. We're talking about a conference of arch-authoritarian status.
Yep.
And they all love power, so that's, I think, probably one of the biggest challenges that they've got here is...
Yeah, like, there was a time where people were saying, I think Russia and China are going to take on Bitcoin as the national currency of their nations.
Pure fantasy.
Yeah, I just don't think that they'd do that because it wouldn't be a central bank.
Well, right. It would, and both of those countries have central banks, and there's just no way that any central banker is going to just quietly bow out from doing their role of providing inflatable money supply to their politician buddies. They're just not going to walk away from that because, quote-unquote, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency is better. Let's go to the phones here. We got Crichton on the line in Kentucky. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Bonnie.
Hi. I wanted to call in pretty
you
early
did.
Today.
Welcome, sir.
And this topic actually folds into what I want to talk about pretty well. Because I called in last night, and I know there's a one-call rule. And then Bonnie was talking about Kennedy visiting New Hampshire during the...
Pork Fest,
yes, so. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And I wanted to comment that I'm of two minds like this. On this kind of thing. On one hand, I am a libertarian, and I see the things that you guys see, that I would like it to be better. And in the sense that if it went the libertarian way, it would objectively be better. However, at the same time, I also am a pragmatist, and I don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good.
Hmm.
And in both cases, both Kennedy's speech and the BRICS currencies you're talking about, they're not libertarian concepts at all. But
sure.
And regarding Kennedy in particular, there's a lot of things that libertarians can agree with as far as what Kennedy's positions are, even if we don't agree for his...
Can you give me some examples? I mean, I've not spent more than 5 minutes listening to the guy. I know he's a critic of... forced vaccinations, and obviously a lot of libertarians agree with that.
What a low bar, though.
But what is it that you would say are, like, three key issues on which he agrees with libertarians, besides vaccinations?
He agrees that free speech is paramount, except when he doesn't. That is true. He does have exceptions to that rule.
Okay.
He agrees that body autonomy, meaning, you know, you get to decide whether or not we put vaccines in our body or not, is paramount, except when he doesn't.
Hmm.
There are exceptions.
You're not getting me excited here, Crichton.
I'm not saying I was voting for the man.
Okay.
I said I can understand why the idea of letting the man speak at Pork Fest, even under his conditions that there would be no firearms within the venue while he was there, are a reasonable compromise for... pragmatist libertarians to make. And I say that because we want to hear what he has to say and what we can agree upon, even if it's nothing.
But why does it even matter?
Small.
I mean, he's a politician. You know he's going to lie.
It matters because all politicians lie, but they don't lie about everything. What we want to look for, we can never get with the idea that we're going to get a libertarian president is hopeless in our own life.
Oh, I agree.
So...
That's why we just shouldn't have any of the candidates there.
That's why we need to secede from the United States.
So the best we can hope for in the current system that we're in, you know, before secession, is to be able to vote for candidates that represent our ideals as closely as we can get.
I think just getting any candidate that gets a whole bunch of libertarians who would otherwise not vote in the federal elections to vote is a bad thing because he's probably not going to win one. So, let's say he won. Let's say that a bunch of libertarians from New Hampshire who normally wouldn't vote in the federal elections voted for him, and he won.
Well, wait,
it doesn't change anything. All it does is give more legitimacy in libertarians' minds to the federal government, and I hate that.
Well, I see where you're coming from, Bonnie, but you have to remember that RFK is, as far as I know, running in the Democratic primary. So at least from the voting perspective, we already know your vote doesn't really matter at a federal level, so spend it on whoever you want. So if you feel like, well, I mean, there's an argument for that, but if you feel like this guy is at least a better candidate than Joe Biden is for the Democrats, and you're really motivated to support him in some way, but you maybe don't want to give him any money, is you could register as a Democrat and then go into the Democrat primary and vote for him. And I mean, that's not a big commitment. It's not going to really matter one way or another, although I can understand why some people would not want to.
But Bonnie, here's where it could matter, although we can't measure this. The way it could matter is if libertarians were to, you know, like you said, register as Democrat temporarily and vote in favor of Kennedy in the primary, even knowing that we can't change the metric, even though the outcome is decided before us. The very fact that we move the needle, the percentages change.
If you understand that the outcome is decided before the election, why would you even worry about voting at all? And that there's no needle being moved.
Let me explain. Because by the statistics affect how the forward conversation continues. Kennedy's policies will have an effect on the Democratic Party because he is more popular than they expected him to be.
Well, I think you are giving the libertarians too much credit. I see your point, but the thing is, whether libertarians vote for RFK or not is basically not going to move the needle in any way.
I disagree in every single thing that he's and you have been saying. It's just like, he's not so different from Joe Biden that this is some kind of, like, activism to do by voting for RFK, so it's not,
well, you don't really
not Joe Biden. He's not so
have
much
you listened to him?
Well, I know that when he, Crichton was saying things like, oh, he believes in free speech, but sorry, I'm not trying to change your voice, so just do that when I'm quoting people and I'm annoyed. It's just like, oh, he believes in free speech, but until he doesn't. He believes in bodily autonomy until he doesn't. Do you know what he's referencing? At least one thing I know he's referencing is the fact that he was talking about putting people into camps for not believing in global warming.
Whoa.
Yes, that was.
That's
yes.
such a big deal that it makes it absolutely no difference to me if Joe Biden or him wins. There's no difference.
Hang
Joe Biden has never said anything like putting people into camps for not believing in global warming.
I want to give you a chance to respond here. Do you want to stick with us?
Yes.
All right, more with Crichton in Kentucky. Sounds like he's advocating libertarians register as Democrat and vote in the Democrat primary for RFK Jr. in order to, quote-unquote, move the needle. And my view is libertarians can't move the needle, period. There's not enough of them. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The effort to find the remains of wildfire victims in Maui is expanding to the harbor area. Dozens of people jumped into the ocean to flee the fast-moving flames on August 8th. Authorities believe multiple people died in the water, likely because of exhaustion and breathing in heavy smoke. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is surrendering to authorities in the Georgia election case. NBC's Ken Delanian says Meadows and Jeffrey Clark today were booked on charges brought against them by local prosecutors for their alleged role in schemes to overturn the 2020 election results in the state.
Both have had bonds set for them at $100,000, and that came after a federal judge blocked separate requests by both men for an emergency stay to prevent their arrest in this case.
Former President Trump will be surrendering to authorities in Georgia this evening. Dave Collins, USA News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
If you want to join the show, you can do that here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
Also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is a cryptocurrency that is designed for spending. There actually are not very many cryptos out there that are like that, but Dash was one of the originals. It was one of the first dozen or 15 or so.
Bitcoin was designed for spending.
Well, but unfortunately,
just changed it.
Yeah, unfortunately, they never fixed Bitcoin, and so it's kind of in a broken state as far as being used with low fees. They don't really have low fees on Bitcoin anymore, but on Dash, they certainly do. You can go to Dash.org to learn more about Dash, and from a technical standpoint, their transactions are irreversible. Their network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain locks technology, and there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it is great for merchants. Dash is, again, one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges. Now available on the Maya protocol, which is a decentralized exchange, which you should check out. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is dash.org. Now, we're going to bring Crichton back on the line here, but Bonnie, you had accused me of being swapped by aliens or something.
No, I think the government stole my boyfriend again.
Well, I'm your husband now.
I know, but I was quoting myself.
Yeah, it's all right. Why were you accusing me of that?
Because all of a sudden you're like, everyone should vote in the federal election to change the country.
That's
and then
not
we
what
won't.
I said. I said if you were excited by RFK Jr., I don't see any reason you should be, but if you were feeling excited, and it seems like Crichton is, then it doesn't do any harm
to vote for
him in the
harm.
Primary.
I explain the harm, because if less people are voting, that is greater than if a whole bunch of people are voting for the people they're excited about.
But why does it matter? No one cares if fewer people vote.
Because that could actually send more of a message than...
When has that ever
done
that?
Well, a bunch of people voted for RFK. If people in mass stopped voting,
that
you don't think that
happen,
would do anything?
Though.
Okay, it hasn't happened yet.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen as long as there are people on the radio saying, if you're excited about RFK, you should vote for him. It'll make a big difference.
I didn't say it would make a difference.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me defend my position, because apparently I was misunderstood.
What is your position?
I am not advocating that any libertarian necessarily register or vote for John F. Kennedy. I was just using him as an example.
You mean RFK, by the way?
Yeah, whatever.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. I can make
something talking about.
I was just using him as an example of the concept. Trying to get libertarians to do anything in mass is an exercise in futility.
Sure.
But what I'm actually saying is that activism is part of what we do. But generally speaking, our activism is resistive. We do things to oppose. And I'm saying that there is a flip side to that, to actually be able to move something in the future, is to seek out allies when we can agree on something. Find an ally that you agree on something important, and then start expanding that agreement if we can.
Sure.
If you can't expand that agreement, you stop it. But the specific thing about Kennedy talking about concentration camps for climate change deniers was an off-cut comment that he made in an interview with a group of climate change activists. Hmm. He was literally talking to his base.
Mm-hmm. So was he joking?
He may not have been. But here's the thing. Like you said, all politicians lie. They especially lie when they think that they've got your attention. But the reality is, when political alliances occur, if they realize that alliance is valuable, they won't do things necessarily to hurt that alliance. So by aligning with someone like Kennedy, not necessarily Kennedy, because I don't really like him per se, but if we could find people in the Democratic Party that we can agree on something about and tie their success to that alliance, then they are less likely to hurt us in the future.
Why? I mean, Trump absolutely relied on all of the Republicans in 2016 who voted for him, and he still broke lots of promises to him, and it doesn't matter. People still love him. And he isn't sorry, and there hasn't been any kind of backlash about him not building the wall or whatever.
Yeah, I don't see why RFK Jr. or any other politician would hold any alliance at all with the libertarians or anyone else who helps him get where they're going.
Like,
I mean, by definition, a politician breaks their promises and they turn on people once they get the power that they're seeking.
The thing about it to me is, why create an alliance with these psychopathic bullies? Like, if you're in middle school, is it better for you? Do you have a better quality of life at school if you go, this person's a bully, I guess I gotta ally with them? And some people do this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I gotta ally with them and then they won't hurt me. Do you have a better quality of life like that, living in fear of what this person might do to you? Or do you have a better quality of life if you say, I'm gonna ignore that person, stay away from them, not let them ruin my life, and make friends, my own friend group, and we'll be strong together? That's obviously better.
I'm not sure that your analogy necessarily applies.
It does.
I do see your point.
Because New Hampshire is getting with a bunch of people who are not the big bully in charge, going and doing your own thing elsewhere. Go play on the other side of the playground.
Well, I do want to say to what Crichton said on a wider perspective of, at least in New Hampshire, where the libertarians are a political you know, there's something to be dealt with. They're serious. They're. No, I'm not talking about the Libertarian Party. I'm talking about just the small L libertarians, the libertarians that live here and do activism here, the Free Staters, the people that migrated here. We are absolutely, I think, you know, I can speak generally here, willing to ally with anyone that agrees with us on an issue. So the Democrats that are on board with ending the war on drugs, we're going to work together to move that issue forward. And that's an absolute fact. So, I don't disagree that we should form alliances where we can. However, I don't think that any national alliance is going to hold any value whatsoever or necessarily even hold together.
Well, I wouldn't expect it to hold together for any extended period of time. All political decisions occur in the moment.
Well, it also holds no benefit for the libertarians either. I mean, if libertarians work to get RFK Jr. elected, and I was just talking with one prominent libertarian activist here in New Hampshire who was talking about possibly joining his campaign team here in New Hampshire, if people spend hours of their time and money working to get someone elected who doesn't even hold 50% of the values that they do, 50% of the issues that they do, it is an incredible waste of time and effort. I mean, if they don't hold 75% of it, in my opinion, that's an incredible waste of time and effort that you could have done spending it on an actual local candidate that matters to you. And even that's probably, there's probably better things you could be doing. Go bake a cake or something like that. But I don't know, Crichton. I
do have another question about his... he said at the beginning that he had a way that this tied in somehow to BRICS. What did you mean about that, Crichton?
I mean, the idea that, of course, the BRICS groups and the currency that they're trying to build is not designed to improve the lives of the common man that lives in these countries. But it would probably have the side effect, especially if it's tied to gold or some other commodity hard, as hard currency, to have a real effect. Like you said it earlier, it might improve their actual lifestyle. That is what the kind of thing that I mean is, like, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And Kennedy is far, far from perfect, but he's still a little bit better than his competition. That's the point I'm trying to make.
But is that little bit better worth even raising a finger for to do something like even just voting, let alone giving money or time?
I don't even know. I have no convinced that he is.
That is something that the individual libertarian is going to have to decide for themselves. But my point is that this whole scenario of tyranny that we've grown into, that we were born into, it took generations to get this bad. It's going to take a long time to fix, and little by little, inch by inch, I'll take the inch.
There's no fixing this. The federal government is never going to become a better, more freedom-friendly place. It is going to have to fail. It is going to have to come crashing down like all empires have over time, or the smart ones like Texas or New Hampshire hopefully will be able to escape the coming failure of this. So I want to ask you, I mean, Crichton, you know, you've been talking about these options. What are you going to do? Are you getting behind RFK Jr.'s campaign in some way? I mean, what are you going to actually do?
I am not. I'm actually looking into land both in North Texas and in New Hampshire.
All right. Seems like a good plan.
So Oklahoma and New Hampshire? I'm just kidding.
The Texas joke.
I'm not Texan enough to make those jokes anymore.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Crichton. I appreciate the thoughts here. Let's go to the phones. Unscreen call. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
I'd like to add something on top of what the last caller was saying.
Sure.
I understand where he's coming from as far as taking an inch as opposed to a mile. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I actually called to ask this. You live in what is considered one of the most libertarian states in the country, if not the most libertarian state in the country. But from what I understand, isn't your legislature comprised almost entirely of Republicans and Democrats that have a libertarian streak to them?
Yeah. You're talking about New Hampshire's
Not Democrats. It's entirely Republicans and Democrats. There are no libertarians, and the liberty-leaning ones are all Republicans this time.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, okay. The Free Staters who've migrated here have tended towards the Republican Party, at least on an open basis. There are some that have joined the Democratic Party and may or may not be as openly libertarian in that particular party in order to, I think, try to infiltrate it. So those ones have not successfully gotten elected from what I'm aware of. But the Liberty, if you were to go and look at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which, by the way, is having its summit tonight. That's why Jay Noon isn't with us. He's giving a presentation to the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance summit.
Nice.
And it's in regards to DCYF.
Which is the CPS, Child Protective Services,
correct,
of New Hampshire.
Division of Children, Youth,
Family
and Families.
Youth, yeah.
He, or the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, takes the time every year to rate the state reps, all 400 of them, plus the 24 senators, and they rate them based on how they vote on various different liberty-friendly or anti-liberty bills, and they come up with ratings, you know, A through F, and then below F there's a CT for constitutional threat that is even worse than F. And then they come out with that report card once a year. It usually is in the middle of summer. It just came out maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago for 2023. So if you're curious into this particular area, you can go to nhliberty.org and you can grab the latest or previous years. I think you've probably got like a decade's worth of these things on the site. You can see exactly how many of the state reps ranked as an A-rated state rep or A-plus or A-minus or B and so on down the list. And you will find that the Republicans tend to score higher on the list than the Democrats do.
All right. Well, one more thing I was going to add as far as RFK Jr. is concerned, actually. So this thing he was talking about last time about how it might be better to throw support behind RFK Jr., that's kind of a way to try to get some libertarian policies in place. This wouldn't be the first time, I would assume, that we've seen libertarians get behind one of the major two-party candidates. I mean, Ron Paul and Mike Gravel are huge examples.
Are you drawing a parallel between what we're doing in New Hampshire and the same thing on the federal level? Because I just draw a distinction because of the fact that, first of all, you actually do have more of sway with your vote in New Hampshire in your local elections. It's not as many people voting. And the other thing is, it's actually impacting things near you instead of supporting this agency called the federal government that shouldn't exist. The other thing is,
I mean, local elections are going to have more sway. At the same time, you know, municipal elections also have that effect, don't they?
Yeah, well, we do those here, too. In cities and towns.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't hear Crichton advocating that backing RFK Jr. would implement any libertarian policies at all.
I think we kind of misunderstood. Even at the beginning, you were saying that he thought we should get libertarians behind RFK, and then he clarified that he wasn't at all. So
he himself was not.
Oh, okay,
but I think what he was saying was that one could. That he thought that if libertarians did, then it might actually show on the, you know, weigh in as some sort of percentage to support him. But the problem there is you don't know what percentage are. If there were a movement of libertarians backing RFK Jr., you wouldn't know because you can't compare different realities. So you wouldn't know what his percentage would be in the absence of the libertarians supporting him. And you don't know what his, like, right? You know, so if there's a 10,000 libertarians that go and vote for him, first of all, that probably isn't going to be really worth mentioning to anyone. But if there wasn't 10,000, then how would you know?
That's kind of the point of the Free State Project in New Hampshire, is that there just aren't that many libertarians. There are people who totally could become libertarians, but they're focused on their day-to-day lives, making money and going to work, probably drinking beer, just being entertained. Like, I'm not saying that there's only a certain amount that ever can be libertarian, but right now there is not a huge amount of people that are libertarian. So the point of the Free State Project is moving them all to one place where you actually can make a difference in your own life. There's so few libertarians that the idea of putting even every single libertarian behind a candidate, it doesn't really change anything.
That's a fact. Anything else, caller? Guess not. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Ricky. He's in the Commonwealth of PA. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Miss Bonnie, down with the eagle and up with the cross, no doubt.
Okay. What's on your mind tonight?
About yesterday.
Well, this is a good one. Now, just a very brief history lesson until I go into current events. Now, under the second term of Obama, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Now, I remember it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, Cairo started blowing the hell out of the palace in Israel. Now, people were bugging out on CNN. Now, Wolf Blitzer was the one to voice the reason. Now, calm down, people. You know, bring Hillary in. 2-3 days, going to be fine. Now, I remember talking to a lady friend who called me. Oh, the president's got to help her, Israel. I said, he won't. He won't. He's got to help. I said, he will not send over one man in a rowboat. Why? I said, because it'll be World War III. And sure enough, Hillary came in and that calmed down. Now, let's move to current events. That's always been a strategic military location for us to control the Middle East. Now,
what has Egypt?
No, Israel.
Israel.
Now, Egypt has now entered into BRICS. Now, what I called the mother of all wars has now changed because now Egypt will, along with BRICS, now it's going to be Egypt, has incredible leverage now over the United States. And now BRICS along with it. Now, here's my looking at this. Now, this is leverage, of course, when it comes to what I just stated, World War III. Now, here's the thing. They've already shown that they're not kidding. But now here's the thing. My concern.
Who has shown that who's not kidding?
Egypt.
Okay.
They already showed that they're willing to bait us into World War III. Now, here's the thing. I'm looking at this presidential race. Now, some people ain't going to like what I'm about to say. Now, you got two people running for president in the front runner. You got Joseph Biden and you got Donald Trump. And I'm going to tell you right now. You can say what you want about Biden. He's a seasoned person. He's been in the Senate forever.
He's a thug.
Now, okay, but here's the thing. If he's president, I'm not so concerned. Now, if Donald J. Trump becomes president, okay, with the leverage that this is touchy business now.
What do you
this
think is going to happen if Donald Trump becomes president in regards to Egypt? I mean, Egypt isn't some sort of world power out there saber-rattling.
Remember what I said happened under, that was almost World War III under Obama. They were baiting us in. If Barack would have sent over a man in a rowboat, literally, that would have became World War III. Now it's BRICS along with it. But they could do the same thing now, and they have incredible
World War III with Egypt? Just are you saying they have, they're in like an alliance?
Here's the thing. They just said, screw it, to us controlling the Middle East. That's why they were blowing up the palace and baiting us in. They still have that leverage now. Now they got BRICS along with it. And if Donald Trump becomes president, I don't have faith in that.
Okay, but wait a minute. Isn't BRICS just an economic alliance? It's not a military alliance, is it?
Is there a difference?
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to say. You know, I think that when countries become economically entangled, it's not much of a difference than when they're outwardly saying we're like a military alliance.
See, this is now accelerated. Everything I said about the mother of all wars is gone. This has now changed, okay? This is where it's at. And if Donald Trump became president, I'm really concerned.
But wait a minute,
who was the candidate that you said you're not concerned about it?
Biden.
Biden.
I'm
I just don't get that.
About Biden,
but there was not.
He can handle this.
Okay, I hate to really act like any of this matters because it's all theater, I really think. But if we're pretending that everything that happens at the White House is real and not some kind of staged, silly game, there wasn't a war with Ukraine under Trump, and then there was immediately when Biden got in.
Yep, that's
like
true.
He can't even get invited to go talk to other major leaders.
Right.
That's trying to say Trump is great. I just don't get his logic. I don't get Ricky's logic.
I'm with you on that. I mean, Trump, Ricky, is by all evidence the most peace-oriented president of our lifetime.
I will tell you,
huh?
He did almost have World War III under Obama. This is serious.
I think we're closer to World War III now.
But you were talking about Trump being this danger.
I don't think he has the experience to handle such a situation. I seriously do not.
Biden doesn't have the common sense to, like, He was vice president for years. Biden's literally a thug. He's an old man. He's so old.
Well, wait a minute. You have to remember, under Biden, Ricky, it doesn't matter whether he's old or not. He's an old thug. But he's got other thugs that are under his control, and they're telling him what to do. But under Biden, you have to remember, Ricky, remember that pipeline that got blew up? It was about a year ago.
Nord Stream.
Thank you. The Nord Stream pipeline.
Okay, but the focus here, regardless,
you remember that?
Not a big deal.
Do you remember that?
I do.
You know who was behind it?
I get your point, but still.
That was the closest we've come to World War III. It probably my lifetime. Not whatever you were talking about in Cairo.
You don't understand. I think Ian understands. They have incredible leverage over us.
Who does? The Egyptians?
Yes, because that's why they blew the palace apart. They were baiting us in.
I don't even remember that.
Location.
Like, that has no... I have no recollection of the event. I'm not denying that what you're saying happened. Your claim is that Egypt went after the Israeli... What was it?
They blew up the palace. No civilians were hurt. It was very strategic. You know, it was to bait us in. Obama did nothing. He's standing down.
Does Egypt even have a military of which to speak? I mean, they're not generally considered a world power.
Oh, they do. See, here's the thing. They have enough. But see, Israel's got plenty. And it's speculated that they have tactical nukes, thanks to us, that they can't use. That's speculated. But the reality is they were baiting us, as in Egypt does have a military formidable. Okay, look under Secretary Clinton's period. You'll see exactly that happen. I'm concerned as hell in the future. Okay, with this. They have incredible leverage over us. And you know what? It's their own damn fault for using Israel as a strategic military location to control the Middle East. Okay, yep. And this is history's repeating itself. Now, do I think it'll be World War III? No, hopefully not, because they're just using as leverage. But you get somebody stupid in there, the president tells the generals to move. Regardless, ultimately, they will move.
Well, we've only ever had somebody stupid.
Thank you, Ricky,
so I think we're
for the
safe.
Call tonight. I appreciate it. And it looks like Egypt is ranked number 10 if you look at the Wikipedia list of military personnel. So
yeah, I haven't heard about that. I guess they all have to join, right?
It probably is a mandatory thing. Wouldn't surprise me at all. That's not uncommon out there.
Yeah, the only person from Egypt I ever met, I worked at a Mediterranean restaurant with him, and he had to be in the military, so I'm pretty sure that they have to do that.
Looks like the raw numbers have about 438,000 active military and then another 479,000 reserve. There's more here if you want to join the show, 603-283-6160. I mean, does anyone else remember what Ricky's talking about, though? Like, I don't remember the feeling of World War III about to kick off in, you know, pre-Trump. Yeah, more coming up.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extend your life with Extendo-Vite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me. Just by calling 1 877 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend Dover.